We want to thank you for joining us for the final night of our testimony month. There's just one verse of scripture I want to highlight at the outset, Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. That verse says, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus." I want to emphasize to you just the importance as a Christian of confessing Christ to others. Whether you do it in a public meeting, whether you do it on a public broadcast, or whether you do it privately, at home, among your neighbours, among your family, in your workplace, it's very important for us to confess Christ, to tell others that we belong to him, and tell others of what he has done in our lives. That in itself is a great witness of the gospel. So that's one of the main reasons for us holding this annual testimony month. We're going to take a moment just to pray, ask the Lord's blessing upon the meeting tonight and the testimony that will be given. Father, we seek thee in prayer. We rejoice in your salvation. We're glad that we can say today that we're numbered among the redeemed. Thank you for these special Sabbath evening meetings. This year they've gone forth as special video broadcasts. We do thank you for Brother Ken and all the work that he does in producing these. Thank you, Father, for how you've used the broadcasts, the blessing that they've been. Thank you for those that have been spoken to through them. Lord, it is our prayer, our burden, our desire as a congregation that these recordings will be a means of outreach, not just in our own community, but even at this time through the internet to the very ends of the earth. Lord, we're glad for, we rejoice that you've been pleased to even open to us a great door. We thank you, Father, for the breadth of the ministry of the church at this time. And we want to pray that we will hear reports of those that have come to Christ as a result of these testimonies. Remember Sister Miss Russell, thank you for her. Thank you, Father, for how you sustained her, for her faithfulness over those years in Kenya. We pray that even yet that she'll hear reports of fruit for her labours, of those that have been saved, of those that are going on with God, and those that are called full-time into the service. Help her as she testifies to us tonight. Bless her hearts. Pray that you'll speak to us. And Father, our prayer would be that you'll speak to other young people especially, that they will lay their life on the altar of full-time service for Christ. So just ask thee, Father, to abide with us now as we commit this meeting, this broadcast into your hands, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We do want to encourage you to share and to listen to all of the broadcasts. Remember, this is the fourth in the series. So if you haven't had the opportunity to hear the testimonies of previous weeks, we encourage you just to take the time to listen to those and pass them on to others. We would like as many as possible to hear them. This is an annual outreach from our congregation here in Armagh. Tonight the testimony is given by Miss Margaret Russell from our Tandragee Church. Miss Russell has laboured for the Lord for 37 years in the land of Kenya, and the Lord has greatly blessed her work there. She returned home last year in the middle of the coronavirus pandemic. She is still helping with the administration of the work out there in the land of Kenya just at this time. Do pray for Miss Russell in that role. Pray that the Lord will use her greatly, even in these years of retirement from being on the field. And pray, too, that even through the testimony tonight, that others will be challenged and called out onto the mission field, because there is still the great need of labourers. The harvest is plenteous and the labourers are few. And that is also true of the land of Kenya. As our sister has come home, there's a need for others to go and to take her place. So Miss Russell's going to come and give her testimony to us just now.
1 Peter 3:15 says, "But sanctify the Lord in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. This evening I would like indeed to give an answer and to give an account of what the Lord has done for me with meekness and fear, as the verse says tonight, and I trust for God's glory, because anything that I have done or anything that has taken place in my life, it has been the Lord. So it is a joy this evening to give this account and to give my testimony. Well, I go back to my childhood, and we were 8 children in our family. It was a big family in those days and very big in the present day. But we were a happy family. We were brought up very strictly. Our parents were what would be classed by many as good living people. And good living people are not saved people, but they are good living. They do what's right. They're honest. And that is the life that we were brought up in. And that's how we were taught, to tell the truth, to observe the Lord's day, to go to church, and indeed to have respect even in the house of God. So we were brought up that way, and I thank God for my parents. But as I've said, in those days they did not profess to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour. Our upbringing was good. We didn't have much of this world's goods, but we had enough, and we were able to learn to work hard even from an early age, and we were able to be happy as a family. There was an odd round now and again, but overall we were very happy. In my teenage years, as I grew into my teens, I can't say that I ever remember a time, even in my childhood, when I didn't know the gospel. I did attend the Presbyterian Church, but sadly in those days we didn't hear the gospel preached from the pulpit. But my father used to take us to any gospel mission in the area. Even though he wasn't saved himself, he had a love for the gospel. I remember attending missions in the gospel hall, in mission halls, and even here when Dr. Paisley had his first mission in Tandragee, my father brought us along. So at an early age, in my early teens, I knew I needed to be saved. And I can say that at times I used to come home from those meetings quite concerned. And I would ask the Lord to save me, but I never had any assurance that I was saved. As life went on into my teenage years, I started off in Clare Primary School, then came here to the junior high in Tandragee, and on to Portadown College. But as life went on in our home, my father had a heart condition, and at a very early age of 46 years of age, he had a heart attack. He took another one and was rushed to hospital. And it was while he was on a hospital bed that Tommy Ryans visited him, and he talked to him about the Lord, and my father said that he had asked Christ to save him, and that he knew the Lord. And that was a great joy when we got that report coming into our home at that particular time. But sadly, just a very short time, a few days after that, he took another very big heart attack and died. And he was very young, 46 years of age, and the Lord took him home to himself. That engulfed our family with great sorrow, particularly my mother. She used to say how young he was at 46. And you know, I was 16 then, and I thought 46 was a right old age. But I now know how really young he was. And my mother was left with the burden of bringing up 8 children. And God undertook for us, and we are thankful for all that God has done for us as a family. But I remember the time during my father's wake and the funeral, and I remember looking at my father in the coffin, and there was one thought that came to me. It wasn't how sad and how big a loss this is, but it was the report that we had received that he had trusted Christ as his Saviour. And I knew, and I was really concerned that time, if that was me, I would be out into a lost eternity. And I was really concerned over that period of time. I went on for another year. We used to go to a mission hall on Mulloglass Road there in Scarva, Tommy Ryan's little mission hall, and we heard the gospel every Sunday evening. And just about a year after that, I was in a Sunday evening meeting in that mission hall. And during the message, I really cried from my heart that God would save me. And God did save me that night, and I came out of that meeting knowing that the Lord had saved me, and I had real assurance in my heart that I was the Lord's. That was a beginning of a life that would be different, and I had great joy and peace in my soul at that time. Just a short time after that, I started a career in nursing. I was just 17 years of age, and the nurse training in those days was quite different. I went to the Belfast City Hospital and trained there in general nursing for 3 years. And I was young, 17 is quite young, to go down to the big city in those days, and we didn't often or perhaps ever frequent the city. But I went down there, and I was quite concerned of how I'm going to manage here. But I thank God for those days. And in the city hospital at that time, there was a nurses' Christian fellowship. And there were many Christian nurses. There were others who were unsaved, ungodly, and had no time for the gospel. But there was those nurses who loved the Lord. And I thank God for the friends that I made in the city hospital, and their lifelong friends even to this day. And they were a great encouragement to me as I was very young in the faith. And they did take me to meetings, and one of them took me to the Martyrs Memorial, Free Presbyterian Church. And I must say, I did like the preaching of Dr. Paisley, but I had one problem, and that was the political aspect of it. But I know that I truly heard the gospel there. And then I heard and learnt much about ecumenism and the need for separation from the World Council. And in meetings, several different of the churches, the Free Presbyterian churches, I would have visited, and I would have heard that being taught, that there was a great need to separate from those systems. I remember being down in Oma Free Presbyterian Church. The late Ken Elliott was preaching, and he preached that day on separation. And, you know, the Lord really spoke to my heart that day, and I came home, and I thought, really, I cannot go back to that church that I was attending. And I made that decision at that time to leave and to come here to the church in Tandragee. I thank God that I'm was able to make that decision. I was probably around 19, 20 years of age. And again, there were people who encouraged me. I would like to say tonight that there's many who have encouraged me along the way, and I don't forget them for that. I came here to the church in Tandragee, and that was the real beginning of my growth in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we're saved. That's just the beginning. We then grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember, even though I was a nurse, that I was able to get time off to get involved in the work of God in my church. And I remember attending the youth fellowship in the church. I remember the times when we had testimony meetings. I remember the time when we had chain prayer. And I was quite afraid as how I could ever pray or testify in public. But I thank God for the encouragement. And that's where I learned to pray, was in the youth fellowship. And I used to look at people testifying and saying, I could never do that. But I thank God for the opportunities in the youth fellowship. The Reverend Reggie Cranston was the leader at that time, and then later Noel Berry took over from him. And I thank God for the encouragement of the youth fellowship. I got involved in the children's meeting as well. Joe Peden was leading the children's work at that time, And not only did we have meetings in the church, but we went out into the housing areas in Tundragee, and we had open airs there in the summertime. Those were years when I started to learn to help in the work of God. As time went on, I continued with my training in nursing and continued to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, when I finished my general nursing, I went on to do midwifery, and I started to attend missionary meetings and missionary conferences. Some of them were run by ACRI Gospel Mission. Some of them were from our own denomination. We used to go for weekends, missionary weekends. And at those meetings, I heard missionaries speak and missionaries testify. And I can remember very especially listening to missionaries in several missionary meetings. I think of James and Dory Gunning. They're now in glory. I think of Alma and Bob McAllister. They're also now in glory. But in those days, they were coming up to retirement, just like I am today. And you know, they really appealed for young people to give their lives to the work of God and to the mission field, and to give their all for the Lord. And that appeal was so strong and really touched my heart. I remember after finishing midwifery, I was a district midwife in Belfast, and I used to drive around the streets there visiting mothers who had their babies. And I remember thinking to myself, there's more than this for you, Margaret. And I started to pray about going into God's work. Now, it was over a period of time. I prayed, I sought the Lord, and I was very afraid that this was just a desire in myself and my own heart, and it's an ambition that I have or something I want to do. And how do I know, is this of the Lord? And the Lord confirmed his will to me through Hebrews 12 and 25, where it says, refuse not him that speaketh from heaven. So I was preparing myself to go to Bible college. I didn't know which college I would go to, but at the same time, I had a health issue, and I was taken into Musgrave Park Hospital, and I was there for a month. And you know, I wondered, how is this going to work out? I feel God has called me, and here I am in hospital. I remember Victor Maxwell visiting me in hospital, and he said to me, Margaret, you know, your life is like a cake. There are many ingredients. Some of them, or most of them, you're not able to eat just as they are. And our lives are like that. God brings different things into our lives. And when we see the full cake, the full picture, we can look back and marvel at what God has done. God did raise me up again from that hospital bed, and thankfully restored my health. And I thank God that in September 79, I went into the Whitfield College of the Bible. And I was amongst the first students that were there. Now, in the college, it was a time of learning. It was a time of a lot of work. And I thank God for the foundation that I was given in that college. But you know, when I went to the mission field, I soon realized that I had a lot more to learn. But you know, during our time at college, I thought, well, the first year we were all students, zealous, raring to go to the mission field or go into God's work. And we were talking about the different fields and praying about them. First year, I wanted to go to India. And I prayed a lot about that. When it came to my second year, well, that desire and interest totally left me. And I really didn't know where I would go. I finished the college, and I still didn't have any particular leading in any direction. That really unsettled me. And when I finished, I was seeking and looking even to the mission board for guidance. When we went to the mission board, there were several of us to be interviewed. The mission board told us to go and get a job. Now, that was also quite disappointing. But again, as I look back on that path and on that advice, it was very good advice. I went and did some work in Daisy Hill. I came to Craigavon and I worked there. And you know, it was in 1982, when I was 28 years of age, that God started to deal with me about Kenya. I remember being in one of our churches and an elder was giving out announcements about sending clothes to children in Kenya. And I thought, Kenya, I'd never thought really much about it before as a mission field and as a place that I would go to. And you know, that thought never left me. Even during the week, it was still, I was still thinking about it. I went away on a youth weekend and again those thoughts were with me. I came back home, and on the Tuesday evening, I went to the prayer meeting in Tandragee, and when I walked in, I was really taken by surprise because the Reverend Nathaniel Kendigore was taking the prayer meeting. He was taking the prayer meeting. George McConnell, who has been another great encouragement to me, was with him. And you know, that night he spoke about the need for children's workers, the need for those who had medical experience. And you know, I left the prayer meeting and I really felt that God had spoken to me. And I continued to pray much about it. Eventually, I approached the mission board because I felt that as I believed much in the stand of our denomination and the work of our own mission board, I did apply to the mission board. And eventually, or after much prayer and consideration, they accepted that I would go out to Kenya. But before I did that, I just want to say that I was still involved in children's work. I remember having a meeting in Points Pass in a hall there. It was owned by the late Morris Thompson. And I remember still asking God to confirm then that it was his will for me to go to Kenya. And I went to the meeting in Points Pass one evening and I said, Lord, if it's your will for me to go to Kenya, will you save a soul tonight? And you know, the Lord saved my own niece, Joanne Hill, Joanne Sloan, now Joanne Hill. And that, along with his word, was real confirmation to me that I should go to Kenya. And so I did approach the board, as I've said, and they said to me to go out to Kenya for 3 months just to see how I would get on. Now, I was alone, a single lady. There were some people thought I shouldn't go on my own. But I went out for 3 months to see what God would have for me. And, you know, even when I reached Kenya, I prayed again, Lord, open the door if I'm to stay, because I needed an entry permit and there were lots of things required. And God opened up the way and God has kept me in Kenya for 37 years. And I do rejoice and praise him tonight. And, you know, tonight I would like to say to our young people, very especially, you know, at 17 years of age, or could I say 19 years of age, I was greatly concerned about my life. What was I going to do with my life? I would urge young people here tonight that you consider your life. You know, there's a hymn, I'm sure you know it well, I've only one life on this earth, and as vapor, it's passing away. When I listened to James and Dory Gunning and Bob and Alma McAllister, they had given their all. They were so joyful. They were so fulfilled. And they pleaded for others to go. And I would urge our young people tonight to seek the will of God in your lives. You've only one life. Youth is the time of great opportunity. How much could you do for the Lord with the life that he has given you? And I urge you tonight to seek him. I urge those who are not saved that they will trust Christ. I thank God for his working in my family. He saved my mother. He saved many of my siblings. And God's hand has been upon me. But for those who are outside of Christ, there is no hope in life or in eternity. And I do urge you tonight to come to the Lord. But our young people, my heart is greatly burdened that God would raise up others to go. I am retiring, and I'm crying to you, just as Dorry Gunning shed tears in those meetings, that you would respond. And you would say, as we read in Isaiah, "Here am I, whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And your response will be, "Here am I, send me."